The Money Show. Make Money Mondays.
Bada boom, bada bing, the godfather of South Africa's internet. The guy who, with a group of friends, founded Internet Solutions, a company that was shut down last week and folded into Dimension Data, which was a sad day for Ronnie Aptiek. I'm sure he went on to become a movie maker, a producer, an entrepreneur of many, many things. Was it sad to see the back of Internet Solutions last week, Ronnie?
Can you hear me, Bruce?
Oh, well, clearly as anything. I know you're a million miles away, but you feel like you're in the room.
It's good to hear your voice, and I'm sorry I wasn't there. I'm not there tonight, but I had to fly out on Friday because of the lockdown.
Absolutely. Where have you flown to?
I'm in Kiev in Ukraine.
What are you doing in Kiev in Ukraine?
I've been here for quite some time.
Doing what? I don't mean to pry, but as you're there.
I kind of live here, and we work here, and married here. So
fantastic. Yeah, so, was the movie making business, did you leave so many debts that you had to go to Ukraine? I mean, was that as far away as you could get from the South African movie industry? Because you made lots of movies. We'll talk about that.
We still have many movie projects on the go. No, I'm happy to say, Bruce, that I think the last time you had me on your show was the last time we lost any money on movies. So, things since Material, things have actually we've gone from strength to strength. I can't say we're making much money or any money, but we're certainly not losing any money. And you know, we've learned a lot, and the projects are certainly getting more inspired, and there's some very purposeful films, and there's actually like a full plate of things on the go in terms of production.
So, if I was to say to you, what are you doing now? It is full-time movie production. Is that what your focus is?
Well, I guess, yeah, this year, absolutely. There's a whole bunch of projects. Some of them, unfortunately, have come a little bit unstuck, as I'm sure most people listening to the show, you know, and most people around the world will probably have their own challenges because of the corona, you know, scenario, and has just messed up a whole bunch of plans. I come back and forth. I'm here more than in Johannesburg, but I'm in Johannesburg literally every month, be it a week or 10 days. I mean, it's not so hard to fly here. It's like flying to London. It's an overnight flight, and you know, so it's quite common, you know, people commuting. But the corona story, I arrived in on Tuesday, and I had like a bunch of stuff to do over 2 weeks, and I was coming to see you tonight and really looking forward to it. And then there was all these announcements Wednesday night, you know, Mr. Trump said, you know, flights to Europe are being cancelled. And then suddenly Ukraine went into lockdown. They announced on Friday. So I had to leave Friday night. They locked down from today. And then from tomorrow, the entire city of Kiev is locked down. Everything closes. Just like in Israel, they've closed in Italy, I mean, restaurants, everything, malls. The only thing that is open from tomorrow is pharmacies and supermarkets. So, there's a ton of film work on the go and some great projects, but unfortunately, in the last week, we've had a very stressful time because, like I said, I'm sure many people are on the same. I'm sure most people are on the same boat.
Look, I mean, everybody's having gigs cancelled and work cancelled and kicked down the road because, frankly, we just don't know how big and scary this monster is. We've seen it demonstrated, absolutely. And if we don't contain it, it's going to eat us. And we can't afford to let that happen. Are you making your movies in Ukraine and in South Africa, or are you seeing sort of cross-border cooperation?
We have a big Ukrainian film project that is scheduled to start shooting here on the 6th of April, but it looks like that's going to have to be postponed because of the, because of the corona. So that's been a project that's been a long time in development, and it's actually quite fascinating. And let's go back to what you said at the opening, because you kind of caught me there. But you said that I couldn't hear it exactly. I was just settling in with the headphones here. But as far as I know, I still help IS and I still represent IS. As far as I know, nothing has changed at IS. I know it's a rebranding. And IS is like as strong as ever. I mean, it's tough times out there. No one can deny that the entire IT space is under pressure, you know, especially now again, with the corona story. But as we all are aware, and I'm pretty sure your listeners are aware, I mean, the economy is tough. Yeah. And, corporate spend has been a challenge for a long time. And now the corona has thrown an extra kicker in. So I imagine trading conditions are going to get harder for the internet industry. But IS is going through a rebranding in terms of Dimension Data's position. And I think that it absolutely makes sense. But it is the end of an era in terms of, you know, the logo is going and the name will change. So, I guess it's emotional for me. But I'm happy that the business is in good shape and that the leadership is strong and that, there's a great team there. Many of them, many of the team and I go way back, and I'm still interacting with them literally on a weekly basis. I still help with various clients and on a few strategic things. It's more out of friendship and passion than it is out of anything else. But I take obviously great pride in the business and it's a special place, and it's, I think, what is it now, coming up this year in its 28th year.
What?
So it's, it's quite amazing.
The fact that we're speaking over a Skype line, that is so clear. You're clearly not in the same room as me, but it's extraordinary clarity. And you're sitting in Kiev in Ukraine tonight, and it just does show the power and the wonder of the internet. It really does. And, what COVID-19 does is further empower the work from home culture, the ability to be mobile, the ability to work differently into the future.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you said that, Ruth, because the work at IS is actually one of the things that enables this kind of magic. It is a magic. And I'm sitting in the Northern Hemisphere and directly north from you. We're on the same time zone. And it is like a magic trick. We talk here, carefree of what the costs are. It's not like the old days where the phone rang from overseas when I was a lighty and you'd watch the watch because every minute was like $10, and it didn't sound so good. It's like taking a photo. I can take a photo at the window here, and as I showed Cecile, the view is absolutely stunning. This place is one of the world's best kept secrets. The city is beautiful and vast, and I can send it to you on your phone. And it takes like a microsecond and doesn't cost us anything. And it's way better than the quality from when my parents used to take photos to the chemist and wait 2 weeks and they'd come out slightly brown and cost you R100. Now it costs you nothing and the quality is incredible and it's all instant. It's like magic.
It is.
And often
we forget. We forget about the era we live in. Yes, we're a bit scared right now. Yes, we're frightened. Yes, our work is drying up. Yes, all of these problems. But we live in a very different world to the one in which we grew up, thank goodness. And it is a world that I want to talk about in just a few minutes' time with Ronnie Aptieker. He is the founder of Internet Solutions. He is a movie maker. He spends his time in Kiev, more time in Kiev than he does in Johannesburg, but he does split his time between the two cities. He had to rush home in order to back to Kiev just to avoid being locked out of the country he now calls home more often than not. More with him in a few minutes' time as we get to the nuts and bolts money discussion.
The Money Show. Make Money Mondays.
Ronnie Aptieker is our Make Money Mondays guest. He was talking earlier about how wonderful technology is and how you can send a picture in a nanosecond from one country to another at no cost to yourself at all. His parents would have taken pictures on an Instamatic camera and taken the 24 images or the spool with 24 potential images or 36 potential images to the pharmacy, waited 2 weeks, got blurry rubbish pictures back, browning at the edges already. I mean, was money tight in your house or was that just normal? When the aptekers had to take the spool to the aptek?
We're going a while back. Well, my parents were immigrants. I'm a first generation South African. I was born in Cape Town.
Had they come from Ukraine or where did they come from?
No, from Israel.
From Israel.
From
okay.
Israel. But they arrived in Cape Town and I was born there. Actually, they arrived in Johannesburg and then landed up in Cape Town. I was born in Cape Town. And they were both entrepreneurs. They're retired now, I can't say that I ever lacked anything. We weren't like a rich family. We weren't a poor family. We're just a working class family. I guess the word is middle class. But yeah, if you took too many photos, there would be a budget issue. Because I used to be a keen photographer back in my university days and from high school, and you did have to budget because if you ran off 10 rolls of film, each one. Geez, even in those days it was like $50, $100, and it could start to add up. So I think when people took a photo, you know, when I was a light, it was always a big thing, you know, like somebody brought out a camera and have those, remember Bruce, those funny flashes that
you have
to buy them like units of like 5 or 10, had that chemical thing and go, and it like, you know, to like you'd use up a flash, and even that cost money. So it wasn't something that you'd let the kids play with, you know, like keep the kids away from that. It costs money, you know, so we couldn't burn through film. But yeah, if they, you know, everybody took pictures and, you know, I think we lived, you know, good lives, but we didn't have any decadent extravagances, but you know, life was good. You know, my folks worked hard and, you know, me and my brother and the rest of us in the family, there's actually a few of us, brothers and sisters, we're all hardworking. So I guess they set a good example.
But growing up in an entrepreneurial household clearly either influenced or afflicted you, because that's been the story of your life.
I guess, you know, I've often reflected on this, you know, what did we learn from our parents? I wouldn't say that my parents, as much as I love them, and they might be listening, they weren't role model parents, but they were honest. And I think that's, you know, that's, wasn't that once that famous quote that someone said, I can't remember which author, like, my parents lived life and they let me watch. You know, there was no pretenses.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can see the good of the bad. And, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, so much of entrepreneurship is about selling. And my father in particular understands that, you know, and my mom as well. Actually, what am I talking about? They both understand it so well. But selling, you know, selling is something that everybody has to do. You know, if you want to get your dream out there, even if it's just about paying the bills, you know, you've got to knock on doors, you've got to sell, you've got to build relationships, and it requires, you know, time and effort. So, you know, if your mom and dad are on the road and they come home late and they work weekends, that's kind of the benchmark, and that's what inspires you, and that's what you learn. So, you know, nothing ever came as a surprise. Like when I started, everybody was working 7 days a week. Hell, Bruce, I still work 7 days a week, and nothing's really changed. So maybe that is something that, you know, comes from home, and you know, it's a part of your life, and, you know, it doesn't seem, you know, unusual or abnormal. You know, it's just the way it is.
What was your first hustle? Because I get a sense that you were that kid that started early, selling people's school lunches back to them or something.
And my brother Alon, absolutely. I was waitering, working in the flea market, writing software when we were students at WITS. I even remember when I was like a lightie as a teenager, me and my mate Alex, we were doing like in Cape Town car washes door to door for like around 50, you know, just like walking the neighborhood. In those days, it was safe. You could walk the neighborhood and like knock on a door and not get shot, you know, and like say, that's actually a terrible indictment. But yeah, in those days, your parents didn't worry if you walked the streets of Cape Town. Now, nobody does that, you know, late at night or, you know, and especially not bobber jobbing, you know, door to door. But yeah, I remember we did all kinds of things. In fact, setting ties, T-shirts, customized things at WITS, computer graphic shows we once did at WITS, you know. There's been a long, if you actually could sit down and write it down, it would be quite a long list.
Was that more profitable than filmmaking today? I mean, filmmaking is clearly a passion.
Most things are more profitable than filmmaking. But as I said earlier, we actually haven't lost any money in quite some time, and I'm hoping that it stays like that. And also, you know, there is that old wise saying that, you know, when times are tougher, you do get more creative. Sometimes throwing endless money at something doesn't actually make the work better or the, you know, the business more successful. Sometimes having some tougher parameters forces you to dig deep and, you know, find new inspiration and get more creative. And often tougher times, you know, like, let's look at Corona for a second. I mean, it is it's the subject of the century, and, you know, everyone's talking about it. That, Bruce, that flight that I took out here, I fly a lot. Like every 3 weeks I'm on a plane. And on average for the last, I don't know, 12 odd years is when I first came to Kiev. Even when material was on, you know, the first one, you know, it was still a back and forth, but I wasn't here as often. You know, now it's for the last 3 years, it's more here than there. But that flight I did on Friday night, kind of that last kind of the, what do you call it, martini shot, you know, the last flight of the night, it was scary. Nobody wanted anyone near them. The airport had attention, gloves, masks. Like, you sat in the plane and you just felt bad. Just it was for some reason. I only got back on Tuesday. I was meant to be in SA in Joburg for a few weeks, and it didn't feel that bad on Tuesday. There was just a consciousness, but this time it felt downright the mood, scary.
The mood has definitely changed. It most certainly has.
Yeah.
Do you have extravagances? Do you have frivolities and things where you spend money?
Well, I guess you could say movies are extravagances. They're massive undertakings. They don't cost peanuts. We learn to make them more frugally and more cost effectively, but they certainly are indulgences. You know, the world doesn't need more movies. What we need is more medicine, more healthcare. You know, we need better quality food. You know, we need better education. We need more education. You know, we need more, more peace of mind, you know, more safety. In movies, there's tons of entertainment out there. So to make films, you know, unless they actually have something meaningful, it's indulgent. And we've been choosing, you know, much more meaningful projects. The project on, I know we're going to run out of time, but the project on Ukraine is fascinating, especially, again, for your listeners, because, most people who are involved in business, in fact, not most, everyone, sorry, I'm correcting myself, need software, be it a radio station, be it a journalist, be it a banker, be it a retailer, everyone, a movie company, everyone is using software to drive their business. And Ukraine, probably unknown to most of your listeners because it's unknown to most of the world, Ukraine is the IT hub of Europe, the second biggest software outsource in the world after India, and the home of amazing brands, again, that people aren't conscious of, like Ring.com that Amazon paid $1 billion from, came from Ukraine. Grammarly is based, it comes from Ukraine. Riddle comes from Ukraine. I can go on and on. You actually would say, hang on a second, I didn't know any of this.
I didn't.
You know, and it's fascinating because everyone who's listening to your show is using software and developing software. And here we are sitting at the software center of Europe. And the startup buzz here honestly makes Africa look very quiet. There is so much going on here because of this IT phenomena.
It has to be, sadly, a discussion for another day because our time is up. Ronnie Aptiekko, what a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for coming. It's lovely to have you. Good luck as you hunker down. It's going to be tough. And good luck with the projects. I mean, James Bond's been kicked down the road. Peter Rabbit 2's been kicked down the road. So you're in fine company. Ronnie Aptiekko, filmmaker from Kiev in the Ukraine. First time ever we've done that.